I welcome my colleague Jonathan Schanzer, Executive Director for the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, just returned from the Middle East from important visits in Israel and in the Gulf. We begin with the news north of Israel, the Hezbollah threat in place since October 7th, if not before. Rockets, chaos, threats to the population so that there's a hesitation to return to the north of Israel, which is an absolute bottom line for the Netanyahu government. However, over these last days, there have been increasing reports of the IAF, IDF, looking to start the targeted killing or to continue the targeted killing to decapitate Hezbollah. Naeem Qassam, the scholarly leader of Hezbollah, gives speeches that I don't know anybody could stay awake through. So the question is, what about Hezbollah? Is it still a sizable threat to Israel, to peace in the region, even to the Lebanese government, such as it is? Jonathan, welcome home. The question about Hezbollah is always the threat of 50,000 or 10,000 missiles. Is that threat still in place? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Yes, absolutely. The arsenal is still there. It has not been dismantled. There are reports recently out of the region suggesting that Hezbollah would be willing to hand over significant chunks of this arsenal to the Lebanese government in exchange for Israel withdrawing completely from Lebanon. I think this has got the attention of the Israelis. I think they have to be interested in such a deal. But I think that the sequencing is obviously huge. Israel's not leaving until those weapons are handed over. That's the only way that Israel could conceivably imagine a step such as this. So I think we're waiting to see what happens there. But in the meantime, John, I can tell you that the conversations that I had with senior Israeli officials suggest that they're quite pleased with the mechanism that has been stood up by Morgan Ortegas. This is the deputy envoy to the Middle East. This is the woman who works for Steve Witkoff. She's been working very closely with the Israelis and the Lebanese. And the story is this, that when Israel sees movement by Hezbollah, when Israel sees worrying activity anywhere north of the Litani River, south of the Litani, it does not matter, they report it to a mechanism in the United States. That mechanism, then the messages are relayed to the LAF. The LAF has, the Lebanese Armed Forces have a specific amount of time. I don't know how much time that is to respond themselves. And if they don't, then Israel bombs. And this has been what's been going on now, John, since the fall of last year. And it is actually working well. The Israelis are happy and the Lebanese are happy and the United States is happy. So I think this is one of the reasons why we're seeing the potential for some capitulation on the part of Hezbollah. The one thing that I will note is that the Israelis are concerned, so are the Emiratis, that there could be a splinter faction of Hezbollah that begins to emerge. In other words, you have these young men who have trained and arm themselves. They've been indoctrinated. They want to wage war against Israel. That is why they are, that's what they do. And when they watch Naeem Qassam, the current head of Hezbollah, sit back and do nothing, not fighting Israel, and even potentially dangling the prospect of handing over the large part of its arsenal, this is something that is tempting the young men to perhaps go their own way. And that's something that we're watching very carefully. A splinter of Hezbollah, a new group, would be very disconcerting indeed.
There was a report of resupply of Hezbollah by sea. Is there anything to that, Jonathan?
Well, this is a Saudi report, and it does comport, I think, with logic. Logic would dictate that they cannot right now bring weapons in by air. The Israelis have been flagging a lot of the planes that are due to come into the Beirut airport, and the Israelis have deterred them, in some cases forcing them to turn around mid-air. The overland smuggling routes have also been largely cut off because the Assad regime fell. That's where most of the overland routes were coming from. So the new HTS regime, the Hayat Tahrir al-Sham regime sponsored by the Turks, they're not positive players here, but they could be positive in this respect and this respect only. So the idea that the port of Beirut, the maritime port, is a is an asset for Hezbollah. Not surprising, since we saw that massive blast during COVID, right, where thousands of pounds of ammonium nitrate exploded. Hezbollah has gone and rebuilt large elements of this port and the staff in the port. They are, many of these people are associated with Hezbollah, bought and paid for by Hezbollah. And so that appears to be the way that cash and other materiel and weapons are coming through to Hezbollah's formerly, or Iran's formerly strongest proxy, Hezbollah.
Who's paying for those weapons is Iran. So we go to the news that requires a great deal of attention, that the U.S. is entering into direct talks with the Tehran regime to be hosted by Oman within these next days. Jonathan, I understand direct talks from the U.S. side, but what does Tehran say about these talks? Is it emphasized in Tehran? That would be very odd to explain how you're talking to the great Satan.
Yeah, I mean, I think right now they're talking about indirect talks, and if those are successful, then you move to direct talks. A lot of mixed messaging coming out of the regime in Tehran. They don't want to be seen as weak, but I have to say here that the amount of firepower that the United States has placed in and around the Persian Gulf is astounding. There are two carrier strike groups. There are B-2 bombers on the island of Diego Garcia. You've got the Israelis chomping at the bit to also potentially strike the Iranians. You've got an additional THAAD anti-ballistic missile battery that was recently deployed, I think it was on Saturday, to Israel. So the defensive architecture is there. The offensive architecture is there. If you're Iran, you're probably feeling like there's no choice but to have these conversations. You now see that Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is saying that he's okay with these kinds of discussions as long as the ultimate goal is a Libya-style full dismantlement of the nuclear program. You'll recall that the Libyans, feeling the pressure after the United States invaded Saddam Hussein's Iraq in 2003, the regime then of Muammar Gaddafi agreed to fully dismantle its nascent nuclear program and to allow for full oversight by the United States. This is what Bibi is asking for. It's unclear whether this is exactly what the United States is asking for. This will be likely under the auspices of Stephen Witkoff, the envoy of the president, who I don't think has the technical basis here for conducting these negotiations. I don't think he's particularly well versed in the file. So it's going to be very interesting to see who emerges as the leader for the U.S. side with these talks.
Wow, the reference to Gaddafi's end, that's a tough one, Jonathan. Boy, oh boy, if they follow through on that, they'll tear apart the Ayatollah by his own people. Now, about these talks, there was a report, I don't even know if it was that Russia was mentioned as an interlocutor. Is there any evidence of that?
I've not seen anything credible to that end. What we're hearing is that these talks would take place in Oman. That's, of course, where the last round of talks leading to the JCPOA, the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, that flawed Iran deal in 2015. So this is not exactly an auspicious beginning for all of this. I think it's also highly problematic, John, that the Omanis would host these talks, given that they are also the country that hosts the Houthi headquarters for the Middle East, the external headquarters of the Iran-backed Yemeni terrorist organization that has been firing on American forces in the Red Sea. They've been firing ballistic missiles at Israel and terrorizing the Middle East on the whole. So I think holding these talks in Oman would be highly problematic, but this appears to be what we're looking at, John. Starting Saturday, it appears that it's going to be the U.S. And Iran indirect to perhaps to start and then maybe drawing closer to direct talks if things move in the right direction. So we're going to wait and see here. But, this is high drama as far as the nuclear program is concerned. The Trump administration really does have the Iranians on their back foot. Sanctions, massive amount of hardware here in the region that is, it's an unmistakable threat to the regime. Now, the question is, do we snatch defeat from the jaws of victory? That's what some people are concerned about in Jerusalem and certainly here in Washington as well. We're very worried that the Trump administration could give up the massive amount of leverage that it currently has.
Jonathan mentions the Houthis when we come back. The sustained air campaign against the Houthis, is it effective? Is it whack-a-mole?
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.